15:58. I'm sure you'll recognize the verse. It's a very familiar verse of Scripture. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we do thank you that you protected us through the night and that you got us here to church safely. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to protect us. Help us as we go back home and travel on the roads. Please keep us safe. And Lord, for the weather that's coming in later, we don't know if it's going to be bad or not really bad, but Lord, we ask you protect us through that. Keep us safe. And help us, Lord, not to get injured or lose any of our possessions. And we pray for those that have already been devastated by this weather. Lord, the homes lost, lives lost, so many things gone. And God, hopefully we understand it could be us at any time. Lord, we pray for these people, and we ask you to please be with them. And somehow, Lord, help them to be able to put their lives back together. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the remainder of our time together. I pray you would please help me to say the things you want said. Please help us all to be alert and attentive and to receive what you have for us here today. And Lord, we'll thank you for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title that I chose for the message today is The Abounding Christian Life. Not the abundant Christian life, the abounding Christian life. Really, they're very similar. But I chose this title because my intention is to show you from the Bible. To show you from the Bible some, not all, because we obviously don't have the time, but some of the things God says his children are to abound in. And I want you to notice carefully what I said. I said, I'm going to show you from the Bible what God says his children are to abound in. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm not going to give you some other preacher's opinion. I'm not going to give you any other Christian's opinion on this matter. I'm going to tell you what God has to say. I'm going to show you from Scripture what God says his children should abound in. But before I actually get started, I want to remind you or make you aware of what it means to abound. If you look up that word, you find that it means to be present in large numbers or great quantity. Another definition is prevalent, which means to prevail. So to abound means to be present in large numbers or in great quantity. It means to be prevalent. And that means that the things we're going to look at this morning are to be present in our lives in great quantity. We're not talking about things that are to be non-existent in our lives, which unfortunately is the case with some Christians. We're not even talking about things that should exist just a little bit in our lives. We're going to look at things that the Bible says are to prevail in our lives. These are to be in our lives in great abundance. And that's why I called it the abounding Christian life. And the first thing that I want us to look at is right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Again, this is a very familiar verse. And it's a verse that concludes a great chapter on the resurrection. That's what Paul dealt with in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as the resurrection of the saints. And he concludes this great chapter by saying, therefore, my beloved brethren. So who's he talking to? He's talking to saved people, right? He's talking to his brothers in the Lord, his sisters in the Lord, those that he loved. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. There's the word. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. So one thing that I am to abound in as a believer, as a child of God, is the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord, obviously, is the Lord's work. That should be fairly easy to understand. This is a reason why the Bible talks about the work of the ministry and why it talks about us being co-laborers with God, using that type of terminology. Because there is a work that is considered to be the work of the Lord, and you and I who are saved are to abound in that work. And certainly there are a lot of things that you would include in the work of the Lord. Like, for example, the spreading of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ would be considered the work of the Lord. In fact, that would probably be the top of the list. That would probably be the main thing that we should consider in the work of the Lord. But it also involves ministering the Word of God into the lives of people. It involves helping the needy, visiting the sick, going to hospitals and nursing homes, not just to spend time with people, which is a good thing, but go to these places as a representative of the Lord. Go on His behalf to try to be a help spiritually to these people. That's what's involved in the work of the Lord. It's not just doing things, but it's doing things as a representative of the Lord, doing things on His behalf, like going to hospitals and nursing homes, maybe visiting people who are in jail or going to jails to give out Bibles or to give out tracts or to minister to people that are there. It involves working in and around and for the church. All of these things are included in the work of the Lord. And according to the Bible, are y'all with me this morning? According to the Bible, as a Christian, I am to abound in the work of the Lord. It's not something that should be non-existent in my life. As I said, is the case with some Christians. You have some Christians who are living for the world. They're not living for God. They're working for their self, trying to accumulate everything that they can possibly accumulate in this world down here. And their mind is not at all on the work of the Lord. They're thinking carnally. They're thinking selfishly. They're not thinking about the work of the Lord. That's how it is with a lot of Christians. And then you have some Christians who are involved a little bit in the work of the Lord. And thank God if somebody's involved a little bit, I guess a little bit's better than not at all. Amen? But what I want you to see here this morning is that a little bit's not good enough with God. God says you are to abound in the work of the Lord. It's to be in your life in great quantity, doing as much work as you possibly can on His behalf. And notice what it says here before we move on from this one point. In verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, look at it, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's not just when you feel like it. That's not just when it's convenient for you. It's always. That's in season, out of season, good times and bad. Throughout my life as a Christian, I am to abound in the work of the Lord. And notice one other thing, notice the motivation here. He concludes this thing by saying, for as much as ye know that your labor, the labor you do for God, the labor you do on His behalf as His representative for His glory, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What does that mean? Just my labor is not in vain. What it means is that if I'm working for the Lord, I'm not wasting my time. In fact, that is, would you agree, the greatest way you can spend your time? Working for the Lord? I can't really think of a better way to spend our time down here on this earth than doing something for Him, working on His behalf. And the promise here is that what labor I do for Him on His behalf, as His representative, it's not in vain. That means that you will be rewarded for the work you do for the Lord. If you're abundant in that, then your rewards at the judgment seat of Christ will be abundant as well. So one thing that I'm to abound in as a Christian is the work of the Lord. Let me move on now and show you something else. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're talking about the abounding Christian life. These things are to be in our lives in abundance, in great quantity, to prevail. One is the work of the Lord. Here's a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, and he gives a list of some things, and all of these are things we should abound in. But I don't have time, as I mentioned, to go through each one. So let's just take a look at these. We're to abound in faith. There's to be an abundance of faith in our lives. We are to abound in utterance. And when you take that word and cross-reference it to other places where it shows up, you see that's simply referring to a person being able to use their mouth in a fashion to make clear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to abound in that. We're to abound in knowledge. That's the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's to be abundant in our lives. And in all diligence. That's being diligent in the things of God. I am to abound in this. And in your love to us, the love that they had for Paul and his companions. Notice, see that ye abound in this grace also. So he gives a list of things, and then he concludes and he says, just like you abound in all of these, I want you to abound in this grace. What grace is he talking about? Well, if you study 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, and we've referenced this before, the context is Christian giving. That's the context. It's Christians giving to others. That is the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And when he says, see that ye abound in this grace, also that's what he's talking about. Abounding in giving. That's to be abundant in our lives. And I always hesitate. I'm just going to be honest with you. I always hesitate to even mention this subject. And I do for a couple of reasons. One, because of all the preachers, so-called preachers out there today that are using God and the church and the Bible and their platform to make merchandise of God's people. I don't ever, y'all listen to me, I don't ever want to be considered one of those kind of preachers. I just despise that, and I do not want people to see me in that fashion whatsoever. That's why I'm very careful about having anything to do with finances in a church or anything of that nature, because I don't want to be perceived as that kind of preacher. But I also hesitate to mention this subject because of all of the stories that I have heard with my own ears from people, or things that I have heard that other people said about this subject. I can't tell you the times that I've heard people talk about being offended and saying that they're not going to go back to church or they're not going to join a certain church because every time they go there, the preacher talks about giving. Y'all ever heard that business before? I heard it not too awful long ago, you know. Some lady offended because the preacher, she went and he preached on tithing and she took it personally. But I'll tell you basically what that meant. She wasn't tithing and she got mad. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. She knows that her and her family ain't giving and she didn't want to hear it, so she sucked her thumb and went home. Amen. Let's have a good time this morning. That's basically what that is. But I have heard so many times through the years. Well, I went there, and he just preaches on. They went one time, heard the preacher one Sunday, but all he ever preaches on is tithing. You know, how in the world could they possibly know that? But this is the way people are. So I'm very hesitant to even mention this matter of giving because I don't want to offend people. But you must understand that as a God-called preacher, I am responsible to declare the whole counsel of God. And I am not to keep back anything that is profitable for you. That's what the Bible says. So if I don't, from time to time, as God leads me, deal with the matter of giving, I'm shortchanging you as a people. And I am not fulfilling my responsibility as a God-called minister. So I'm going to mention it, and you can do with it whatever you want to. Amen? And I'm going to show you, I'm just showing you right here in the Bible. Again, this is not my opinion. This is what God has to say. You are to abound in this matter of giving. It's not something that should be just minimal in your life. We are to be givers as God's people. That's what He expects from us. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than to receive, didn't He? That's what He said. More blessed to give than to receive. You and I are responsible to abound in giving. We are to give to missions. We're to give to saints who are in need. We're to give our tithes and offerings to the church. All of this is involved. And if we're not abounding in that, I'm just telling you, you can get offended. You can do whatever you will with it. If you're not abounding in giving, then you're not being everything God wants you to be as one of His children. Now, that's just a fact. And I've heard every excuse under the sun through the years, and I'm not even going to go down that rabbit trail this morning. But really, all it is just a bunch of excuses for people that are stingy and don't want to give. Or, if they're not stingy, they simply don't have enough faith to trust God to take care of them if they give. It could be that. But the fact of the matter is, God expects us to abound in giving. So check yourself out this morning. How much of a giver are you? Do you understand this morning, according to the Bible, that one of the main reasons God expects you to work and earn money is so that you can give to help other people in need? It's not just so you can pile up a bunch of money in your retirement account. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you having a retirement. There's nothing wrong with you saving some money for days out in the future. Nothing wrong with that at all. But let me tell you something. According to the Bible, one of the main reasons why you and I should have a job and make money is so we can give to other people. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We live in a society today that is very self-centered and selfish. Unfortunately, that's how a lot of Christians are. It's a get all you can all you get mentality that prevails many times in the heart and life of an individual, even in people who are saved. But that's not what is to prevail in my life. What is to prevail and be abundant in my life is a spirit of generosity, a giving spirit. I shouldn't go through life looking to be a taker all the time. You met those kind of people? They're just takers. They don't ever help anybody. They want other people to help them. Just take, take, take. Just get everything they can. I'm not to live that way as a Christian. I'm not to be a taker. I'm to be characterized as a giver. That's the way God wants me to be as a Christian, a giver. And again, we're not just talking here about money, okay? Because you start talking about giving and everybody's mind just goes right to money. There's a whole lot of other things you can give besides money that should be given. Let me show you this, and then we'll move on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 28. Ephesians 4, 28. This is part of you putting on the new man, putting off the old, putting on the new. Let him that stole steal no more. So if you're a thief, quit being one, okay? That would include, you listening to me, stealing from God. Because the Bible says, will a man rob God? They said, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, what God said. So this includes not just stealing from man, it includes stealing from God. If you're a God robber, stop it. Stop being one. Give the Lord your tithe and offering. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, notice, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That's what the Bible says. We're to be givers. We're to abound in giving. One of the main reasons we are to work and acquire is so that we can then disperse to help meet the needs of other people. So we're to abound in the work of the Lord. We're to abound in giving. Let's look at something else. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is just one chapter over from where we were a moment ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. You believe that? God has plenty of grace. Amen. And where sin did abound, what does the Bible say? Grace did much more abound. That has to do with our salvation. And it can also have to do with our life after salvation. But in this particular passage, it's just talking about how God can give you in your life as a believer an abundance of grace. And I don't know about you, but I have been a recipient of God's grace many, many times since I got saved. He has made all grace abound toward me. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, that is, everything you need, all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, we've talked before on other occasions about how once we get saved, God expects us to live a life of good works, right? We're not saved by works, but once we get saved, He expects us to live a life of good works. In fact, according to what we just read, we are to abound in every good work. What does that mean? That means that if it is a good work in the eyes of God, if it's something that God says is a good work, not something man says, because man and God oftentimes are not on the same page, amen? Sometimes they're miles apart. So we're not talking what man says, what man approves. I'm talking about what God says is a good work. If God says this is a good work, this is a good thing, then I am to abound in that, whatever it is. It says every good work. So every single thing that God says is a good work, then I am to abound in that. Whether you're talking about studying and reading your Bible, or praying, or being faithful to church, or witnessing, or being separate, or exhorting the brethren, or whatever the case. Just demonstrating your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is one of the greatest good works that you can possibly do. You remember the story about the woman who came in and broke the alabaster box of ointment upon the Lord Jesus Christ and anointed Him? Remember that story? Remember how there were some disciples there who didn't like it, and they murmured and they said some things about her? You know what Jesus said? He said to those disciples, He said, "You let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me." One of the best works you can ever do is just lavish your love upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good work. And we ought to abound in that. Just be abundant in demonstrating to Him in different ways how much we love Him. But in every good work, I am to be abundant. Let's look at a couple of more. Turn to the book of Philippians now. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We are to abound in the work of the Lord. We're to abound in giving. We are to abound in every good work, whatever that might be. And then I want you to notice that we are to abound in love. We're to abound in love. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 9. Philippians 1, 9. Paul says, "And this I pray." So this is something he prayed for these believers. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." I'm praying that your love may abound yet more and more. We are to abound in love. Doesn't the Bible say God is love? The Bible says that God is love. I think it's pretty clear that God is abundant in the love that He has and continues to demonstrate toward us. In fact, the Bible talks about His great love wherewith He hath loved us. So So God is abundant in his love that he demonstrates to us and in the love that he has demonstrated. And God expects us to be as he is, to follow his example. So if God is something, then we need to try to be that very same thing in our own lives. Let me give you a verse of scripture. This is in the book of Ephesians where we just were, chapter 5, verse number 1 says, be followers of God, listen, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love, even as Christ hath loved us and given himself for us. It says, be a follower of God as dear children. I'm to follow him, right? He's to lead, I'm to follow. And it says, walk in love. As God is love and demonstrates his love, that's how I am to be in my life. And according to what we read here in Philippians 1, it's to be abundant in my life. This includes my love for God himself. In fact, he is to be the supreme love of my life. But it also includes my love for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it even includes loving people that aren't saved. Loving people that maybe are our enemies and don't really care anything about us at all. Let me show this to you. Turn over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We're not going to be much longer, but I just want you to see these things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Abounding in love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse number 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, first of all, one toward another. That's the brothers and sisters in Christ toward each other. He says, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. So there is to be an abundance of love that I have toward my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, can we be honest? Would it be all right if I'm honest with you? And let's just, you know, for just a few minutes, we'll take our halos off and we'll just be real about it. There's some of you that's easier to love than others. And I'm sure you see me the same way. I mean, let's just be real. Some folks are hard to love just because of the way they are. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people that right now, if I'm in their mind, are thinking, that joker is hard to love. He really is. My wife thinks it every day. That's reality. But here's what you got to understand. Just because something is hard or difficult is not an excuse not to do it when God has told you to do it. You listen to me? See, it's not a thing where God says, now I want you to love all the brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to, in fact, abound in love for them if they're lovable or if they're easy to love. That ain't what he said. He just said, you are to abound in your love one toward another. Period. That's it. Even if we are hard to love. And the truth of the matter is, whether we are willing to admit it or not, all of us have certain little things about us that get on other people's nerves. You just well agree with me. We all got those little idiosyncrasies, those little things about us that just rub on people's nerves, and people think, I don't understand why they're that way, and then they're thinking about us, I don't understand why they're that way. You know what I'm talking about? We all got that stuff. But listen, that's what it means to be in a family. We're in a family together. We all got things that are not exactly like they need to be, but we're to love each other anyway and abound in that love toward one another. That's the way it's supposed to be. But he goes on to say in verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. That's beyond the saved people. That's even lost people. That's even lost people. Look down at chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. I don't have to write tell you what to do about this. You know. You know. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren that are in all Macedonia. Look, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. He says you're loving, you're abounding in love toward those in Macedonia, but you don't need to be satisfied with that. Increase more and more. I should never be satisfied with the amount that I love God. I should always understand I could love Him more than I do right now. I should never be satisfied with how much I love the brethren. I should crave loving them more than I do right now. Abounding in love. Let me give you one last thing and then we'll be finished. Go to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. The abounding Christian life. We are to abound in the work of the Lord. We're to abound in giving. We're to abound in every good work. We're to abound in love. Last of all, I want you to see that we are to abound in thankfulness. Abound in thankfulness. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 7. 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. So there is to be an abundance of gratitude in my heart to God. Amen. An abundance of gratitude. Abounding in thankfulness. Not a complainer, not a whiner, not somebody always focusing on the negative and having a bad spirit about everything. Not a glass half empty type of person. But grateful and thankful to God for His blessings. There is to be an abundance of that. You see this all the way through the Bible, but just in this one book, I'm amazed. The more I study the Bible, the more I read, the more I understand how important this thing I'm talking about is with God. This matter of thankfulness is not to be taken lightly by you and I as Christians. Look right here, and this will end us. Just right here, I'm talking about in one little book, just got four chapters in it. I want to show you this. Look at chapter 1. Colossians 1, 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Look in this same chapter at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We saw the one in chapter 2. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Look at verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Just one book, one little short four-chapter epistle, again and again and again, Paul reminds us to be thankful. I am, as a believer, to abound in thankfulness. Let's bow our heads for prayer. The abounding Christian life. How you doing this morning? And there's so many others that we could have looked at, but just in the ones we talked about this morning, how you doing? Are you abounding?